Amen. I want to go back to, first of all, I really want to thank God for having preserved each and every one of you. I've taken time to pray for you. I feel confident that the Lord is blessing you and lifting you up to higher heights. And every time I come to this house, or I mean in my closet, I don't fail to mention you before the Lord. Amen. And so I know that regardless of the impediments that you might encounter, I want you to know that behind the scene, there's somebody who is praying for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Last week, but one, we started on a topic that I'm hoping that I'll be able to conclude today. Last week, we were blessed by a bishop from Eldoret. And if you are not here, you can get a tape from Sister Lorraine. It was very, very powerful, and we were blessed. Amen. I want to continue from where we left. If you are not here, you can also get a CD, or you can go to you can go to the link that we have on our website, and you can listen to that message. You know, and you're going to be blessed. You know, every time you listen to the word of the Lord, we focus ourselves to the word of the Lord. There's something special that comes out of the word of the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord is a cleansing agent. It is a purifying agent. And I've been speaking to my brother Jeff regarding, you know, the word of the Lord. I've been spending time with him, counseling and just pouring the word of the Lord in his life. And you know what? The reason I know is that every time we get acquainted, we get into the habit of reading the word of the Lord or listening to the word of the Lord. That word cleanses us. That word realigns us and gives us a perspective of some sort of excellence in the way we ought to conduct our lives. And so let us not neglect the word of the Lord, because when we do so, the Lord is able to, if we neglect the word of the Lord, then we miss a lot on what the Lord is expecting of us, even as we continue on this journey. Amen. We spoke about the enduring winning attitude, the enduring winning attitude. And for some of us who are not here, maybe I can just recap on the things that we spoke about, because I don't have much time to speak to just finish this. I'd like to finish this today. But just to recap on what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, I spoke and I was telling the church on that Sunday that, you know, to have a winning attitude is a requirement in this life. Because you know, in this life, when Jesus went ascended up in heaven, he said that in this earth, in this life, you're going to encounter problems. You're going to encounter challenges. Praise the Lord. You know, if you have not encountered any challenge, even as you've grown up, you know, as you grow up, you know what? It is just a matter of time before a challenge or a problem is going to hit you, and you're going to feel like you are under pressure, and you're going to feel like you are positioned between a hard rock and a hard place. Amen. If you're going to live several decades here on earth, trust me, that problem will surely find you somewhere. Amen. If it hasn't found you, if you've been living in a comfort zone, trust me, problems will come. Things will come in your life that sometimes you'd desire to have a solution immediately. There are some things that would come to you so quick and so consistently that you wonder whether God is alive. There are some things that have come into my life in the course of my life that I wondered, really, is God anywhere with, you know, around me? Does the Lord really care about what I'm going through? But you know what? It doesn't really matter what we go through. God still remains to be God. Amen. And he is aware. He is 100% aware of what you go through. Praise be to God. That is the confidence that I have even as I face this life, knowing that even as I face the challenges, that he also faced challenges. Amen? And he was an overcomer. And just that the fact that he was an overcomer, I know that I can overcome. Amen? Praise the Lord. What good would be a winning attitude if we do not have any challenges? I don't need a winning attitude if I'm not going to have any challenges. But as long as challenges are lined up or are destined to find me in my place of sojournment, then I need a winning attitude. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It's the fact that in this life, there are people, I was telling the people, there are people who are going to love you and there are people who are going to dislike you. Praise the Lord. No matter how you do, no matter how you want to please them, no matter what you are, no matter how your personality is, the fact of the matter is there are people who are going to be anti you. Amen? And there are people in this life who are going to be attracted to you. There are people who are going to be drawn to you and they're going to love you regardless of who you are. Praise be to God. That is a fact of life. And let me tell you, these things are so challenges. They are so challenging that if we are not aware that these things would happen to us, we can be in a quagmire of disillusionment, you know, and to wonder why these things are happening to us. Praise be to God. And we came up, as the Lord was imprawling on me about this topic, I came up with a few things that we need to be aware of, or we need to concern ourselves with, even as we concern ourselves towards having a winning attitude. And the first of the things that we mentioned, and I'm just going to go there by passing so that we can rush a little bit, is that we need to be aware about God's position concerning you. Amen? What is God's position concerning your life? What does God really think about you? And we were able to look into Jeremiah 29:11. It's a very familiar verse. For the Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." Amen. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They are plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It is important to know God's position concerning your life. In spite of the challenges that you go through, it is good to know that at the background, there is a God somewhere who thinks good and he has good plans concerning me. I might be going through trouble today and I might be surrounded by things that I don't like, but the fact of the matter is there is a God who you may not be able to see physically who has a good plan concerning your life. Praise be to God. I have spoken before and I have told people and I've told them that God has your blueprint in his fingerprints. Amen. In his hand, there is the blueprint of every believer and every human being that there is. Amen. That means that God knows where you're going to be 5 years from today. God knows where you're going to be 3 months from today. God knows who you are going to be with 5 days from now. He knows your life from A to Z. Praise be to God. This is the confidence that we have, that when we serve God, regardless of the things that we encounter, that there is a God who cares for us. Praise be to God. The Bible calls him omniscient. He is an all-knowing God. And I've said this 1,000 times here, that God doesn't need to learn anything new about you. Think about this. If God had to wonder how your life is going to end up maybe 2 weeks from now, I wouldn't want to be connected with that kind of a God. But you know what? In this earth, there are people who have gods who may not really have an end, who may not really have an idea of how their lives is going to end up 2 weeks from now. But there is one God, his name is Jehovah, that when we get connected to him, he knows my future. He knows what I'm going through. He is concerned about my well-being. He is concerned about my family. He is concerned about my welfare. He is concerned about everything that is connected to me. May his name be praised. Know the position. Know God's position concerning your life. Number two, we talked about something that we found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 33. And we talked up. This is what the Bible says. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We talked about ditching bad company. If you want to go places, if you want to accomplish your dream, if you want to fulfill the goals for which God has laid in your spirit, I want to believe with the whole of my fiber that there's no dream that instills itself in your heart. But God is the dream giver. Somebody say, God is a dream giver. Hallelujah. And the way God gives dreams, he connects up your personality. He connects up everything about you. He connects up your desires. He connects up your trusting and your level of maturity and everything that makes up you. And he directs it toward a certain thing that you're supposed to accomplish here on earth. Every single person has a mission here on this planet. Amen. Hallelujah. No one was born. You know, when I was in school, I read about a certain organ that is just about, I can't remember the name of that organ, but they called it a vestigial organ. It is an organ that didn't have a function. It is just by the large intestines. It is just there, but it doesn't have any function. But I don't believe there is any member of the body of Christ that has been raised up to be in the body of Christ that doesn't have a function. Amen. And God is going to connect you up with your destiny. And he's going to link up everything that is about you to connect you to that sole purpose to fulfill your dreams. It is God who instills that dream in your life. It is God who puts a desire in your heart. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And you know, there's one thing that we need to know. That bad company would corrupt good morals. If you want to have a winning attitude, we have to choose the people that we walk with. Amen? There are people that when you hook up, there are people you'll hook up with that will destroy your destiny. There are people that you hook up with that when you share things with them, they will pour water on you. There are people when you hook up with them, they will kind of misdirect you. They will put you in a detour route. Whereas you're supposed to listen to the voice of God so that he can direct you towards your destiny. Bad company corrupts good morals. Praise the Lord. Choose your friends wisely. Choose the people that you relate with. Choose the people that you share your secrets with. I don't believe that everybody on this planet ought to know what you're doing. I don't believe that everybody in your circle needs to know exactly what is happening in your life. Can I hear a hello? Not everybody is supposed to understand everything that is happening in your life. Amen? Actually, to be honest with you, many of the people that you consider to be your friends, if you can really have an investigative analysis about their friendship towards you, you'll be so shocked. Amen? Every single person has very few friends. I'm talking about genuine friends. I believe a friend is a friend indeed and a friend in. A friend is supposed to be a friend in need and a friend in. But we have friends who are friends in. They only need you when they're only your friends when they need. They only call you when they need. They only want to hook up with you when they need something from you. But I need a friend who can stand with me even when I'm going through tough times. To tell me, man of God, I'm going to stand with you. Man of God, no matter what happens, I'm going to stand with you. Amen? When I share about the dream, this is exactly what I'm thinking. That they are going to encourage me. That they are going to push me towards my destiny. Praise the Lord. Let us choose our friends wisely. Praise be to God. Number three. And I think, I don't know whether we talked about this. We talked about practice your winning language. Practice your winning language. Philippians number 4 verse 8 to 9. And this is the scripture. Actually, you can turn around if you can be able to see. That is the scripture. Or you can see it up here. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Praise the Lord. We have to practice and develop a winning language. The way you talk, the way you declare things matters a lot. Amen? Have you been around people who are so negative? And you know, when God is just about to bless them, I mean, there are people who do not see anything good in anything that there is. Have you ever encountered those kind of people? People who are negative, people who are, who are so egocentric, people who do not see the good in anything. It is important to practice to have a winning language. And this is what I mean. For example, if your bank account right now is reading zero or is turning towards the south, you know, there are bank accounts that, you know, when you get your check, immediately turns towards the south all the time. It's always turned towards the south. It is good to go and declare. let me tell you, there are people who are radical in this church. They go buy an anointing oil and they anoint. I like that. I like when people buy an anointing oil. If it is your statements, go get your statements from the bank and you say, you bank account. You bank account, I declare from today that this account will not be going south every single time. It is time for my account to have some money. Amen? Why are you not responding to me? Kwani ninahubiri vibaya? Sindio? Jameni? Let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself too. You know, you might think that I'm really a TM. I'm preaching to myself. Do you know that since there are people, there was a time since I came to America, my account would never have even $400. By the time it runs $400, can I enter? Huh? You know, it oscillates between 300 and, you know, and you're really watching out. I believe God is a God of prosperity. And I'm not really a prosperity preacher, but I'm not also a poverty preacher as well. I want us to have a balance. It is God, it is good, it is proper for you to be blessed. Amen? Declare things, say, God, this year, in the remaining part of 2014, poverty is not my portion. I will pay every single bill. I will pay all my obligations. I will give to the house of the Lord. I declare that I will not be poor in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. When you see something good that you can purchase, tell God, next time I want to be able to buy this thing without guilt consciousness. You know, there's something that you can find, you really like it, but because of the state of our account, sometimes you say, oh my God, if I had this money, how many of you agree with me? You know? Some of us have been wanting to ride a very nice car because that car now is getting to a point whereby you feel, no. You know, it is smoking the whole of Dallas. You're almost stopped by police. And you're saying, God, I wish you can give me some money. Give me, rectify it. Help me correct, put clear my credit so that I can get a nice car. Speak positive in your life. Let me tell you, words have creative power. Oh, my God. I wish you know how much words have creative power. Whatever you speak and confess, it can be. Amen. There are some of us, our parents, you know, used to call us ngombe. And we have lived with that ngombe word. And every time you want to achieve something, you are saying ngombe. I am not a ngombe. I am a human being created in the image and the likeness of God. Are you listening to me, church? Practice your winning language. Practice your winning. Even when some things are not making sense. You know? Sometimes, let me tell you, this is my message in this part. This is my message because sometimes when things are so tough and they are under pressure, I come and tell Catherine, I think this thing is really, I don't think we are going to do this. And she says, no. We are going to do it in the name of Jesus. In fact, this morning, I was telling her, who will open up these doors of our van now? There are so many mosquitoes because you have so many mosquitoes that are biting us even as we came to church. And there are so many. And I said, these mosquitoes, who will open up the door? And Catherine declares, no mosquito is going to bite anybody. I said, what? You know, it's good to be having radical people, positive, you know? Even though you are seeing Kabisa, and I told her, what? You mean that just because of speaking like that, mosquito is not going to bite me? I want to kill it when it comes on my lap. Practice your winning language. Amen? Let the people who you work with know that you are different. Don't band with them because there are people who are negative. By the way, let me tell you, there are people who are very negative. And you know what? If you find that this group that you hang up with, you know, they always, you know, they are talking down on each other. They are talking on how they cannot progress. Oh, in America, you cannot do this because you are not in this class. Let me tell you, your words have creative power. You can make it in Jesus' name. You are created in the image and the likeness of God. And your words are like fire. Jesus. One day Purity tells us about how she gets the anointing or when she's mad in her house, that things are happening and she goes anointing everything. We need to have that kind of a spirit. Get the anointing oil. Anoint yourself. The other day I went to prayer and as I was praying, I find my mind wandering. You know what? I went to the kitchen cabinet and I took the anointing oil. I anointed myself. I said, Pastor, you are pastor. You're not supposed to wander. I anointed my head and I said, you mind, listen, you have to be subjected. You're not supposed to think about other things. Don't think about the pressure you're going right now. Concentrate. Refuse to be intimidated by the devil. Amen? There are certain things you have to practice your winning language. Praise be to God. Glory be to God. Practice your winning language. I was reading, listen, This week I read a verse that really blessed me so much. It is in Philippians chapter number 1, 9-11. Listen to this. Philippians 1, and I have to go a little bit faster. And this is Philippians 1, 9-11. This blessed me so much. And this I pray. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. And this I pray, that your love may abound and still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen. And this I pray, that your love, number one, love may do what? May abound. Your love for one another, your love for God may abound. Praise God. And more in real knowledge. Why is it written there, real knowledge? That means there's some knowledge. There's a knowledge that you can acquire that is unreal, right? But real knowledge, it comes out of what I'm just about to share with you. And all discernment. Those three things. Love, knowledge, and discernment. And this is a prayer that Paul had towards the Corinthians. And so, after I have love for one another, I have after I have love for my God, and after I have real knowledge, and after I have this discernment thing, what is this supposed to do for me? Listen, verse number 10. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. I love that. So that you, somebody say me. So that I may approve things that are excellent. There are some times when we are waiting on God to approve things for us. But God has delegated to you to approve things that are excellent. Amen? It is upon you as a child of God when we are bind in love and we get acquired ourselves to the real knowledge and when we have the spirit of discernment to approve that which is excellent. Glory be to God. This is a winning attitude too. That when you let the love abound and when you have the spirit of discernment and which is the other thing? Come on, tell me. The love for, the knowledge and the discernment that you will approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Now, I also saw something from Proverbs 1:7, and it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of? No, here it says knowledge. I think there's another verse that talks about wisdom. But in Proverbs 1:7, it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the beginning of knowledge, the real knowledge that is spoken of in Philippians 1:9-11, the real knowledge is having the fear of the Lord. Amen? So in other words, we can say, when I have love for the church and for the Lord, and when I have the fear of the Lord, and when I embrace the spirit of discernment, then I'll be able to approve the things that are excellent concerning me and concerning my family. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Ooh, that blessed me. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now I'll go to... And then number four, we also saw, I don't know whether we talked about this, finding faith in God. I think we read Matthew 6, 25 to 33. And so I'm not going to read that, so you can go read about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Without faith, we cannot please God. Amen? So first of all, the Bible, the kingdom of God is all about faith. We cannot appreciate the kingdom of God without the concept of faith. Amen? And we cannot please God without faith because God is a spirit. Are you listening to me? And he says that we cannot please him without faith. God responds to our faith. In order for God to see our weaknesses and the things that we encounter every single day, God will first of all come through via faith and to see us. Without faith, we cannot please him. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things seen, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a requirement in order for us to appreciate the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto us. Amen? So the concept of faith is also a winning attitude. It's important for us to know that in the midst of challenges, there are certain things that will require for those things to respond to the faith that we have in God in order to go to the place where God wants us to go. Amen? Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, number five is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, 12 to 13. Now, this is what I put down here. God has your back. Amen? As you encounter your challenges, God has your back. Amen? Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, that brother got my back. He has my back, you know? That's how the Americans say, he's got my back. I got your back. Have you ever somebody say like that? I got your back, Jeff. Amen? When you know somebody has your back, you say, somebody is supporting me. Somebody has, you know, my personal interests, you know, behind me. So he is backing me up. And this is what the Bible says. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape. Also, so you'll be able to endure it. Amen? Praise the Lord. As you pursue your goals, as you pursue your dreams, as you pursue your endeavors, there are certain going to be impediments on the way. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be tests. There are going to be trials, because the enemy doesn't want you to arrive at the point of your destination. The enemy doesn't want you to realize of your dreams. And so what would happen when God gives you a mission and he tells you, this is your mission, this is your purpose? Let me tell you that when that declaration is made, also in the kingdom of the enemy, there are some assaults that are mooted against you. Amen? You remember what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah was given a vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Amen? And he pursued it, and God gave him favor. But what do we find out? Did he have a smooth way towards accomplishing his mission of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? Come on, church. Did he have a smooth way all through? He had some impediments. And we read of Sanballat and Tobias, amen, who were vehemently opposing the rebuilding of the walls. But what happened to Nehemiah? He never gave up, amen. He continued, and actually he called on the children of Israel, and they went up with weapons of war. He could not take no for an answer. He knew that he had a mission, and his mission was to rebuild the walls. So in spite of Tobias and Sanballat, God provided a way for him to go through past the things that Sanballat and Tobias had their intention towards the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. Praise be to God. Now look at Hannah and Peninnah. You have read the story of Peninnah and Hannah, right? You know that Hannah was mother to Samuel. And what propelled Hannah even to seek the Lord? Because the Bible says that the Lord had closed her womb. She was daily being provoked by her co-wife. I mean by her partner, wife, I don't know what you can call. Because she was, a second wife to Elkanah. And Peninnah, the Bible says, that had children. But Hannah didn't. The Lord had closed her womb. And every single day, she was being provoked. Oh, you don't have children. You amount to nothing. And let me tell you, there are certain things that would come, even trials and tests, that will come for a purpose. Praise be to God. They will propel you towards your destiny quicker. Amen? If it were not for Peninnah standing in her position to provoke Hannah, I wonder whether Samuel would have come that quick. But she didn't want to. She every single moment she would face Peninnah, you know, she would just wait. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody who really criticizes you all the time? And by the time you come to them, you're feeling even your heart is really cajoled. You feel like, you know, I really want to be with this person, but every time I come with them, it's like they'll criticize you. You know, sometimes you push those people away, but they're good for you. Amen. Because they propel you towards your destiny. You know, Peninnah provoked Hannah towards her destiny. You know, I believe Nehemiah in the encounter of Sanballat and Tobias, I believe he was actually resolved the more to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember the story of Saul and David. It's like there's always going to be somebody who is going to provoke your life. Look at Job. Job, you know, had everything going for him until one day when the enemy, the devil, came before the Lord and asked, please give me one moment. Let me test him. Have you not surrounded this man with a hedge of protection? Just give him over to me and you will see when I deal with him, he'll give up his spirit. Amen. Always God provides a way. even in the blink of death, Job never cursed the Lord. The very closest person in his life told him, rebuke God and die. You should not be going through what you're going through right now. Mrs. Job, that's exactly what Mrs. Job told Job. Rebuke God and die. Why are you going through this? But you know what? I think Job made a resolve. And he said, You have ashamed me. You have embarrassed me. You have shamelessly come and to tell me that I need to disown my God. I'm just paraphrasing. And you know what? All you've been telling me is how to disown my God. But I believe that also created a firm resolving Job. Even if I die, though he slays me. In fact, that's what he says. Though he slays me. Hallelujah. Even though he slays me, I'm not going to leave him. Amen. In life, God is always going to provide a way out. Somebody say God is going to provide a way out. Yes, he's always going to provide a way out. What are you going through today? What are the things that you're going through today? Eh? God is going to provide a way out. If only you can just consistently trust God. God, I'm not moving here. Lord, I'm not going anywhere. Where can I go, Lord? Where I go, Father, there will be a sinking sand. I cannot put my trust on this thing. I cannot put my trust on the system. Unto you, oh God, do I hang on to you. Because I know you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Amen? Hallelujah. God has your back. God has your back. Amen? Glory be to Jesus. There's one story that I have to tell you before I conclude. I cannot even finish this. It is the story of Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. You know the story very well, how it went. There was famine in Bethlehem. And so Naomi decided, you know what? And his family, he was married to a man called Elkanah. You know that story? He was married to a man called Elkanah. And there was a great famine in Bethlehem. And so they said, you know what? We are not going to stay here until we die. We are going to go to the other side of Moab. And so because we feel like there are rains and things are happening in that land. And so they went up there and everything seemed to go well. And Naomi had two sons and they married. And the Bible says that even as they married, everything was going on well. But a time comes when the husband of Naomi passes away, Abimelech. And this woman of God was devastated. But there's one thing that that comes out very clearly about Naomi, that Naomi loved God. Amen? Isn't it wonderful to have women who love God? Women who always draw us towards the presence of the Lord? It is a beautiful thing if you're connected to a woman who can draw you close to God every single time. And as the husband of Naomi passes away, she is devastated. Amen? And then a time comes when also her two sons die. And now she is left with this. First of all, now she becomes a widow. And after she becomes a widow, she is left with her daughters-in-law who also become widows. In fact, the Bible says that Naomi considered herself stricken of God. And everything was going on well, and she was and now after the her two sons had died, she welcomed her two daughter-in-laws so that they could live together. And a time came when she felt so devastated. She didn't love this country because this was not her home country. And she heard a report that things were going on well in Bethlehem, and so she decided to go back. And when she decided to go back, they are beginning to journey and they are packing all their things to go back to their homeland. And as they go, she is troubled in her heart. And she is troubled. Her trouble was really concerning the two daughters-in-laws that she had. They were still young. And she implores on the daughters-in-law and she tells them, I don't want you to come with me. I don't want you to partake of the things that I've gone through. I don't want you to come to go. I don't want you to go with me in Bethlehem. I would rather you go back to your mothers because your mothers maybe would take care of you. And there were two daughters. And the Bible says that Orpah, upon the admonition of Naomi, she looked at what all this woman had gone through and she decided to go back to her mother. But Ruth, I thank God for Ruth. Man, if you ever get a girl, give her name Ruth. Ruth is precious. I was reading this and I really loved it. But Ruth, in spite of the calamities what were around were around Naomi, in spite of her state of affairs, she is one thing that she discerned from her mother-in-law, that she loved God. Amen? There are people that God is going to connect you with. They may not have enough personality. They may not have it all going together. Watch the people God connects you with. Amen? And so Ruth looked at her mother-in-law and she said, as long as I live, I cannot leave you. Why? Because I have observed you. I have seen the character. I have seen how you carry yourself before the Lord. And I am not going to leave you. And I am going to hang around you. And Naomi decided not to go back to her mother. She decided, in fact, against all odds. Everything, the husband, her father-in-law had already died. Her husband was already dead. And here was a mother that was going even, she was in Moab for such a long time. They didn't even know what they were going to. But anyway, cut a long story short. Ruth goes, and you know how the story ended. She ended up becoming Boaz's wife, a wealthy man. And not even that. When Christ is mentioned, the lineage of Ruth, Ruth is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Are you listening to me? There are certain things, I don't even know why I'm telling you this story. There are certain people or there are certain circumstances that God will put you under. It is very important not to look at those situations or the people with your physical eyes. Know why you're connected to certain people. Know why you're connected to certain places. Know why you're connected to certain organizations. It is for a reason. For everything that happens to a believer, it is for the good. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Ruth would have said, even Orpah has decided to go back away. But Ruth, because of the love that I believe that she was, when I was thinking about this, I believe that Ruth had the first chapter of Philippians 9:11. She had the love for this woman. Amen. She had the love for this woman. And she discerned and she was filled with the knowledge of God. And so when it came for her to approve things that were excellent, she chose the right thing. Somebody say amen. She chose the right thing. Sometimes don't look at the person. Don't look at the system. You might be in an organization that doesn't even recognize you because of where you come from. Amen. And you're at the verge of quitting. You're at the verge of just throwing in the towel. You might be hooked up to people. When you look at them, you know, they don't even have an order. They don't even have, you know, anyhow, you know, when you look at them generally, you know, they just, you know, they're stricken. It's like everything is going bad against them. Watch, because let me tell you, God might use those people. Amen. God might use those people too. I was telling Jeff the other day, do not look down on yourself. Everyone within Jeff's family has rejected him. His own father told him not to go back to his home. His mother passed away and everybody tended to reject him. But I told him, you know, watch your destiny because God is not like a man. God is going to raise you up when you look back at the day. Start taking video. Let me tell you, I told him, start taking pictures of yourself because you're coming to a place where God is going to demonstrate how great he is in your life. Amen? So do not despise humble beginnings. Do not despise things that God throws. You know, you might look at them at face value and dismiss them. And you say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get, you know, work for this organization. I'm not going to get hooked up with this person. Well, after all, who are they? You know? But let me tell you, God might be using that very, very person that you're despising. God might be using that same boss that you've been despising to propel you to your next level of destiny. Because God does not like work like a man. I said God does not work like a man. He does not even reason like a man. Amen? You know how you reason? You know how you see things? The Bible says that there's as many ways, you know, for the Lord as there are in an ocean. God can decide to use the list of the persons that you've been hooked up with to propel you to your destiny. Praise be to God. Having a winning attitude. Amen. Praise be to God. Shall we all stand on our feet in the name of the Lord? Amen. And in the course of you enjoying the prosperity and in the course of you, you know, having things going well in your life, you may not realize how great things have been going in your life until you hear of reports of what is happening in other places of the earth. And that's when you know that you're blessed. Many times, you know, because we are surrounded with the same kind of people, they're doing things that you do, they're blessed, they drive a car, live in a nice home. You know, we tend to think that that's how it is everywhere. But I want you to know that God has blessed you. Amen. And God wants the best out of your life. There's a question that has been ringing in my mind this past week. And I've been asking myself, should I die today? What will be my legacy? What will be my legacy? And I've been having a lot of trouble with that question. Am I going to have impacted somebody's life? It could be maybe people were drawn to me so that I may impact their lives. Am I really going to impact their lives? And I feel that I need to pass this question to you. That what is your, how are you forming up your legacy? Is your legacy just connected to the people who are around you? Is your legacy affecting other people who may not even know you? What is your legacy? How are you putting together your legacy? God wants you to be a winner. Amen. In order for us, you know, a winning attitude complements plays a great part in our victory in this life. I read something from Chuck's window. He said that 10% of our life, you know, life is, in fact, this is what he said. Life is just about 10%. 10% is what is about what happens to you. And 90% is how you're going to react to it. So how you're going to react to life and the things that will come from day to day will determine how your life is going to end up too. Because it's a fact of the matter that, you know, there's things that have already happened and there's nothing that you can do about it. For example, the guy that you married, the wife that you married, there's nothing you can do about them. You just have to live with them. The children God gave you, those are things that have happened to you. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen? That's the 10%. But the 90% is how you're going to react to the things that are just about to spring into your life. Amen. Winning attitude. Father, we thank you. And we bless your name. Thank you, Father, for your word that is active and alive. Thank you, Father, for the life-giving spirit right now, Lord. I ask you kindly that you may travel into the corners of our hearts. And in the areas where, Father, we may have struggled, Lord, in different aspects of our lives, that, Father God, we shall have a winning attitude in all that we do. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And that, Father God, in order for us to be victorious, Lord, we may have to experience that victory before even we get into war. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for every brother. I thank you for every sister in this house. I pray that, Lord God, you shall be speaking to them. Let us let that still voice of the Holy Spirit be audible to us as he ministers to us in our sleep, as he ministers to us while we work, he ministers to us as we drive, as he ministers to us whatever in whatever that we are doing, that you may be glorified in our lives. Father, we give you the praises and we give you the glory. I pray that you shall guide and lead this believers, Father, even close to you, Lord, that we shall solely be dependent upon your word to the glory and honor of your name. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that even as we take dominion and take possession of the places in this city, that we shall do so, Lord, knowing that you are ruling and reigning in our lives. Father, I take power and authority and rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus. I castigate him in the name of the Lord. And I nullify every one of his work, every one of his assaults in the name of Jesus. I declare that these people will be victorious in all that they do. This, your children, Lord, shall experience victory in the name of Jesus. I come against every demonic activity concerning their lives in the name of Jesus. And I declare that they are winners in the Lord to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. May the Lord God bless you. May you give him a hand of praise, please.